They're finding their way, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles, to Revelation 6. Of course, not too many weeks. Summer is quickly going by. Our college students will be returning to school, so we're going to miss them. Some for the first time. Isn't that right, Yana? But this morning I'd like to take a few moments and talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'm sure like many of you, or many other people, you, like myself, have been disturbed over the events of the past few weeks, the things that we see. And we've seen some terrible things. Of course, one of the big things that should still, and I hope it does, remain on your prayer list are the victims of that terrible shooting in Colorado. I mentioned before prayer time, one of the things that has also been going through my mind lately is the drought that's going on in the Midwest and the hardship and suffering that it's causing a lot of people. It reminds me of what's coming. And when I hear of these things, I'm reminded of the events that will precede the second coming of Christ. And so this morning, I'd like to take some time and talk about that. Our text is from Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice, saying a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Dear Jesus, we just glorify your name. We are so thankful for what you have done in our lives. We thank you, God, for your presence here today. And we pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move upon us as, God, we look to your word for strength and encouragement. May your anointing rest upon this servant today. May you not only give me the words to speak, God, may you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has for us. May we grow in faith, in grace and truth. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm grateful and excited that Jesus is coming again. Of course, when we look around at the different things that are going on, we see many signs that he will return. And the feelings that we should have in this anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ should be feelings of joy, and they are. Because there is a great promise to those who know God, when Christ returns. The Bible says he'll wipe away tears from their eyes. There'll be no more parting. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness, no pain. It will be a great time. But my heart is also troubled over the return of Christ because I know what Scripture says is going to happen prior to Jesus setting foot on this earth again. We just read about the first four horrors that will come upon the earth before Christ comes. These four horsemen. We can summarize the end by reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. The Bible says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of godly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Clearly, this scripture teaches us that before the Lord comes, tough times will come upon the earth. And the Bible teaches us in this very scripture that we just read, when Jesus comes, he's going to come like a thief. And a thief comes generally, or at least he wants to come, to a home or to a family who is unsuspecting. And even though we're here at church now, we're worshiping God, I doubt very many of us have in the back of our minds someone's robbing our homes. But we all know it's a possibility. So we take precautions in keeping our things safe. When I go to bed at night, one of the last things I do is check all the doors. And I know if I don't check all my doors, I'm in trouble. Not so much because I know someone's going to come in, because I know if I climb into bed, my wife will say, did you check the doors? And if I didn't, I'll have to get up and check them all over again. But the one who is prepared does not have to worry about a thief. And there are signs that let us know we need to be careful regarding our possessions. We see things in the news. You know, regarding the Colorado tragedy and other things we've learned and terrorism. We've learned to be more careful when we go out, to watch more than we have before, so that when things happen, even in an unexpected environment, we'll be prepared. And God is sending signs now, letting us know of some of the things that are going to happen on the earth before his return. During a time known as the Great Tribulation, a great time of horror that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God begins to judge the earth. Now let me just say one thing about this period of judgment. The opening of this book, what we're reading about this morning. Some people read this and say, how can God, if he's a loving God, do this to mankind? And even though this looks like solely an act of judgment and vengeance, it is, but it's also an opportunity for grace and forgiveness. Because during this time, God is going to give ample opportunity for people to come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God will not bring this terrible time. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ just came and all opportunity to accept him was forever banished? And no one had a chance to personally accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine the billions of people who would be lost for eternity? But God loves us so much And he wants people to know him, and he wants people to experience his love and forgiveness. He's going to send this terrible time before his return, not to destroy man, but to give man one last opportunity to accept him as Savior. Because generally speaking, the way man is living now is not working. And although there are many people who are coming to Christ, many more refuse to come to Christ. We see that this morning. How many are in churches worshiping and praising God as opposed to people who don't care about God and just doing their own thing? We're in the midst of very troubling times. Not only is our country going through terrible times and troubling times, the whole world is going through a period of difficulty. And there are signs of things that are to come. And it could be very soon. Let's take a few moments this morning and let's talk about these four horsemen. And the first horseman is a rider on a white horse. Once again, verses 1 and 2 in Revelation 6. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say in a loud voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquests. So initiating this time of trouble or tribulation will be a rider on a white horse. And what this rider on a white horse symbolizes is an individual who is going to come and conquer the world. And the person that this scripture is speaking of, I believe, is none other than the Antichrist himself. For the Bible in numerous areas teaches about someone called a man of sin. We read about him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible there says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." In this scripture, we see that he is someone who opposes God. We also see that not only is he someone who opposes God, he is someone who sets himself up as God, who is someone who wants to be worshipped. And in our text this morning from Revelation chapter 6, we see what his goal is. He's not like, and we have a lot of people who say that they're God because of mental illness or whatnot. People have delusions that they are Jesus Christ, but this person will be different in that he'll not only desire or set himself up and think himself as God, he'll force the world to worship him or die. And you might be sitting there saying, well, how will he accomplish this? Because many people have tried to conquer the world before. You know, there's been Hitler, to name just one among many who've tried to conquer the world, and they've all failed. But this man, Scripture teaches us, will be someone who will have success. And of course, one aspect of his success, or one reason why he will be successful, is the Bible teaches us that he will be a demon-possessed man. That the power that he operates under will not be his own power, but he'll operate under a demonic spirit. The Bible telling us in the later on in the book of Revelation that he's possessed with a demon spirit in the form of a frog. And so many people will be conquered. And I think there will be, yes, a sort of a militaristic type of conquering. But I also think many people at that time will be willing to be conquered and to be willing to be led and ruled and be willing to worship and adore this man. And the reason I feel this morning is because of what's going on in our society today. Now, we're in the midst of an election season, and unfortunately, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But if you remember 4 years ago, and that was, you know, I think one of the most unusual elections we've ever had, because there was such a euphoria about our current president. And I'm not here to say good or bad about the president, other than we need to pray for him. And no president is perfect. They never have been. They never will be. We'll have one perfect ruler, and that's Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for God's will. We need to pray for him now, and we need to pray for God's will to be done on Election Day in November, and then we need to pray for whomever is elected, that God would lead and guide them. Amen? But if you remember 4 years ago, what was the feeling about our current president, President Obama? What was his message? It was boiled down to one four-letter word, that word being hope. There was an expectation that if this man was elected, all our hopes and all our dreams would be realized. Even people who did not agree with his political philosophy supported him and voted for him. And what does that show us? The world is hungry for what? Hope. Someone who's going to come in and solve all of our problems. And they don't care so much what they do or what they believe, even though Jesus is there, ripe for the taking. They'd rather have someone that they can see and feel and hear, literally, physically. And our nation is in the world, in especially now, and seeing our world situation has gotten worse. Some people say the economy's gotten better. It may have, but it may get a lot worse before too long. Our world is primed and ready to accept someone if they can offer hope. And so I think that this conqueror, when he comes, yes, he'll conquer some by force, but many will be willing. Second, we have the rider of the fiery red horse, Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. And when we read that, our first instinct is war. And yes, war is a very real and present threat. It's something that is going on today. I think of what's going on in Syria. And I didn't mention it today in our prayer request, but we should, you know, lift up that nation in prayer and pray for peace and pray that whatever happens there, that there's the ability for the gospel to be preached there. And of course, there are very heightened tensions between Iran and Syria. And we know that it's not just a problem between those two countries, but that can overflow and become just affect the world as far as its peace. But once again, looking at that scripture is not just talking about war. I heard that, once again, verse 3, I heard the second creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. You know, in addition to war, I think we could describe that verse with a word that unfortunately we are too well acquainted with today, and that's terrorism. You know, it used to be gun violence and shootouts and those types of things were kind of located in inner cities and, you know, dangerous areas. But now we're seeing terrorism where? We saw it 9/11, New York City, and we have had some attempts on airplanes, which, you know, taking an airplane today is like taking a bus. And then a few weeks ago, the shooting in Colorado, and there are a lot of shootings different places. I know, David, you just lost a relative, two relatives not too long ago. And our hearts go out to you. Peace being taken from the earth. I think the Bible also describes it that the love of many will wax cold. No longer are people empathetic towards one another. They don't think anything of taking a life. For some, it's religious zeal. For others, they just think life's a game. And they could take life on a whim. And this is just a taste. This is what's coming upon the world before Jesus Christ returns, when that second seal of that book is open. Peace will be taken from the earth. You think terrorism is bad now. You think war is bad now. It'll be nothing compared to them, but it's a sign. It should let us know that it's coming and we need to be ready. Thirdly, the black horse, that of famine. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. The Lamb opened the third seal. And I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Now, I have to tell you, we have had a blessed summer here in Connecticut. This is, my third or fourth year for our garden, vegetable garden. And it's been the best year we've ever had. We've got, they're just starting to come in. We're going to have tomatoes. We've had gobs of cucumbers. We've had peppers. Doing really well. In fact, someone brought in cucumbers today. I'm not the only one. But what's going on here in Connecticut is a far cry from what's going on in the rest of the country. There is severe drought, and as I mentioned, Sister Barbara was saying, and also Roseanne was saying when she was out in Missouri, the corn is nowhere near what it should be. The hay yields won't be what they should be, and okay, so we do with less corn, but less corn, less feed for cattle. Meat prices will probably go down, and then they'll go up. There'll be a food shortage, and with that will be higher prices, and people will have much more difficulty feeding themselves. Doesn't that seem somewhat surprising? I mean, this is the United States of America. We're in the year 2012. We have put a man on the moon, and we do so much. You can pick up your telephone, you can call someone all over the world, but man still hasn't solved the problem. Drought and famine. These things are still happening. And if they can happen now, how much worse will it be when the Lord comes? And when we experience famine, again, in combination, these things happen, but with combinations of everything else that is going on, they're signs. They should be things. And the only way that people are going to know that, hey, we need to wake up because there's a God in heaven who's coming back and we need to be ready is for us to get the word out. But God sends these things not to punish us, not to make mankind suffer, but to bring mankind back to Him. You know, think, we're so blessed here in Connecticut. What a wonderful summer it's been. But the rest of the country, drought and famine. It reminds me of the words of Amos in Amos 4, chapter 4, verse 7. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, and another none, and dried up. Why did God do that? Because God was angry with one and loved another? No, he wanted to get people's attention and let them know that he was there, he was powerful, and he loved them, and he wanted them to turn back to him. And that was the only way he could get their attention. Signs that Christ is coming. Despite all of our technology and knowledge, when the great famine hits, when the Lord returns, it won't be enough to take care of the world. Which leads us to the fourth rider, the rider of the pale horse, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Somewhat of a culmination of all the other horrors, the conquering, the famine, and the war. And because of that, one quarter of the world's population will die. But I believe there'll be one more thing that will contribute to that, in addition to the famine, in addition to war, and in addition to the conqueror. And that will be persecution against believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that during this great tribulation, this time of trouble, which many believe will be a period of 7 years, that during this time, many people will come to Christ as their Savior. In fact, an untold multitude will come to Christ. But the way that they will exit this period and exit this life will not be a matter of their own choosing. They'll be martyred for the cause of Christ. There'll be an animosity against those who do not accept the Antichrist as God and as Savior, but who instead serve Jesus. And don't we see seeds and signs of that today? I don't know how many of you have been, but I really hadn't paid much attention to it until this week, but there's a restaurant chain in the South called Chick-fil-A, and it's a chicken. I ate there many moons ago, but the owners are born-again Christians, and they believe in traditional marriage, which is fine. This is America. We should be able to believe what we want to believe. But the mayors of two cities, at least initially, and they backed off that because they know that the Constitution will not support them. But the mayors of two cities threatened not to allow them to build their restaurants in their cities because of their stand on traditional marriage. They would rather support, and I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for saying it because you have to call an ace an ace. They would rather support deviant sexual behavior, deviant is what's outside of the norm, than someone freely expressing their faith. I don't know about you, but I never thought I would live to see the day where someone, and I know Christianity is not always popular, but I never thought I'd live to see the day where the government would threaten a Christian or a business because of the personal beliefs of its owners. In fact, what I believe was happening there, the waters are being tested to see whether or not Christians can be denied building permits and business permits, be allowed to survive and to sustain themselves. Again, it's a sign of the times that will come. There will be, I believe, a great revival during the tribulation period, but it'll be coupled with incredible persecution. Now, I'm looking at those things, and I do believe there we're not actually in that time, although we're experiencing some things that show what's going to happen, but in a greater magnitude. I don't believe we're in this time. I don't believe that book has been opened yet. And the reason I don't believe is that that book that we read about in Revelation chapter 6, that is a book of judgment. And as I see God in Scripture, God is not a God who judges the righteous. He didn't judge Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. He didn't judge Lot, who lived in the city of Sodom, because he was a righteous man and did not pour out his wrath on that city until he was taken out. And the book of God's judgment that we're reading about this morning will not be open until God takes his church out in the rapture. But it is a sign that Jesus is coming soon. And God wants to let the world know. I mean, you might be sitting there this morning saying, well, what does that mean to me then? If I know Jesus, then I'm all set. I don't have to worry about it. Well, we do need to be aware of it. It's in there for them, but it's in there for us. And what we should do, there's actually several things that we should do. I know in my heart, in some ways, I want to pray that God would just stay his hand and give mankind a little more time before his return, before that book is open. And the reasons I would want God to wait is so that people would have more of an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. But part of it is for me, because there's some people that I have not done as good of a job as I should have to witness or to pray for. But those aren't good reasons. In fact, the Bible teaches us that if we truly know Jesus Christ as Savior, we should embrace it, embrace his return, and live like he's coming back very soon. Reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says, when these things begin to take place, what things? Some of the things that I've been talking about this morning. Stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, when that says lift up your heads, on the one hand, people might be saying, okay, we're to look up to see if Christ is in the clouds, and he is going to return in the clouds. But that's also a figure of speech in Scripture that talks about having hope. Lift up your head. Why be downcast? Look positively towards tomorrow, because a better day is coming. When you read the paper, when you see all the stuff, all the garbage that's going on, if you let it, it can get to you. And you can worry about tomorrow. Am I going to get through? Am I going to have a job next week? Am I going to be able to afford my food bill and my mortgage? What kind of life is my child or my grandchildren going to have it? Because things just get worse and worse and worse. What's going to happen when I go to the movie theater or the grocery store or the post office? Is someone going to gun me down? The Word of God says, when these things come to pass, and they will, birth pangs will come upon the earth prior to the return of Christ, signaling his return. We're to look up and be happy. Why? Because we know Christ is coming back. Just on the other side of sorrow, there'll be great joy. Don't be downcast. Will it be horrible? Yes. But on the other end of that horror will be great, inexplicable joy. The only image that we're given, or one image that we're given in Scripture, and only a percentage of us, not including myself, can identify with that, is that of giving birth. And giving birth is, and I don't know this firsthand, a very painful experience. Nothing that I want to go through. But you ask every mother here, even though childbirth is something that's very painful, the joy of that receiving that child far exceeds the sorrow of bearing that child. And I know this to be fact because I've seen many mothers with many children. They didn't just stop at one. Bless God. Secondly, not only are we to be hopeful during these times. Jesus is coming. Don't forget. But we're to welcome it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." King James Version translates it this way, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We shouldn't be resistant to the coming of the Lord, but we should welcome it. And for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's what God's will is for the world. But secondly, it's a great joy for us because we're finally going to be with Him who knows us, who loves us, who gave His life for us, and whom we'll be with for eternity, who will wipe away all of our tears, our sorrows, and our woes. Thirdly, we're to love His appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all those who have longed for or loved His appearing." I've heard some ministers speak, good ministers, who believe in Jesus, who love God, not so much speak against the rapture or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but seemingly in their words not welcome it. You know, we shouldn't be looking to be rescued. And I understand what they're saying, and although sometimes I feel that way. With all the pressures of life, sometimes you want it all just to end. But that's not the way that we're to look at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to be rescued from all these terrible things and brought to another place. Rather, when Jesus Christ comes, we're finally going to be with the One who loves us and whom we love, and we'll never be separated from them again. Scripture paints it this way, and that the body of Christ, or believers, those who know Jesus, who have accepted Him by grace or by faith, are the bride of Christ. And, one of the days that I looked forward to in my life the most was August the 6th, 1988, because that was the day Raylene became my bride. And I was going to be with her for the rest of my life. That was an exciting time. I wasn't looking for Raylene to rescue me. I wanted to be with her because I loved her. And she loved me. And we wouldn't have to say goodbye every night. You know, and I didn't have to drive. You know, she lived an hour and a half away from me or more so. You guys who live close, you got it made. We'd be with each other all the time. And that would be great. And it was great, and it is great today. And that should be our anticipation regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to finally be with Him forever. If we love Him, you're going to want to be with Him. He loves you. He wants to be with you. Love it. Welcome it. In fact, those who do is a crown promised to them. And lastly, God's Word calls us, especially in light of everything that's going on in the world, to work. John chapter 9, verse 4, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." Bless God. We always need to be serving and working for Jesus. But something happens, whether you're at a factory or wherever you have your job, when it gets close to closing time or when a deadline is due and you still got a lot of work to do. You work faster. You work harder. I don't know anyone, I guess, unless you like overtime, but on a Friday evening at 5 o'clock, who wants to work over because they haven't got all their work done? They work the hardest to get everything done so they can go home. The signs that we're seeing indicate that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And there is still a lot of work to be done. And in looking at these signs, we need to be reminded so that we continue to be encouraged to do our best for the kingdom of God in the short time that we have left. I'd like to ask our musicians to come tonight, this morning, excuse me. And as they come this morning, I'd just like to ask you, how do you live your life in the light of the times that we live in? You know, so much is going on around us, and some of it is just life, but really, we're in an amazing time in that everything that's happening really points to, you know, I just mentioned a few things today, but so much that's going on really points to the soon return of Christ. And as believers, we above all people should be aware of it. But I think a lot of us either we're not aware of it or we don't live like we're aware of it. You know what I'm saying? We're overcome by fear. You know, we're afraid. And yes, I'm not foolhardy in thinking, you know, that we can spend wisely or spend foolishly and so on and so forth and just expect nothing to happen. I know there are some very, very serious concerns that are out there. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in assurance. And even though the world is moving towards more dangerous times, those dangerous times don't nullify the promises of God that He's going to take care of us. In fact, we should even be more aware of them because Jesus said that these things are going to happen. Some people in the church, in the body of Christ, act like they don't know what's going on. And they don't care. Issues that are going on in their life, they don't care about their friends and family as far as where they stand with God. God cares. And some people just don't know. They don't want to know. But that's not how God has called us to live. And that shouldn't be our response to the things that are going on in the world today. What should mark us as believers in the days that we live is number one, and again, it seems crazy, but it should be true. We should be the happiest people alive. Because we know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And you might say, well, I can or I shouldn't. It's improper. You know, you ever feel like you shouldn't act a certain way in a certain social setting, like you shouldn't be joyful at a funeral or whatnot? We should be super joyful. And the reason is it will give us an opportunity to share with others the joy that is within us. Yeah, all this bad stuff is happening. But the Bible said it was going to happen. But better yet, the Bible said it's a sign, or there are signs that Jesus is coming. Our witness and our testimony depends upon it. We should have an expectancy that Jesus is coming. And with that expectancy should come a sense of urgency. It's lived out in our lives. You know, procrastination needs to be set aside. And those things that we've been wanting to do, whether they be changes about our lives, people that we've wanted to talk to, relationships that we needed to mend or forge,